At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan, 11 a.m. on a rainy, cold day in the district. Appreciate you listening wherever you are. If you're on the Odyssey app, the iHeart app, you're listening to the podcast in the future, we're time travelers. If you're watching on the YouTube stream, let's check in on the YouTube stream. What are they talking about in the chat? Lord knows. Deb Debo says, I'm in Howard County. I don't know what that says. Locked on Law, we need to point this one out. The Wiz won last night.
Yeah. Which guy hit a three? CJ McCollum.
Now, since we had that discussion last week about who's going to win more games,
yeah,
the Wizards have now won two of the first three since we had that discussion, and Washington is 0-1.
Yeah, but so, we did it with Ovi too, though, and Ovi's running away with it. I think
Ovi is running away with that. The Wiz have now won two of their first three games since we said the Wiz had 14, Washington has six. Given the chance, I voted for the Wiz. You voted for the Commanders. I think Jeff voted for the Commanders. I can't remember White, Brian, or Lamp. Lampville, you were on the Wiz too, right?
Yeah.
Dub B, what were you on?
I wasn't here when you guys had that debate.
Oh, of course. You were on your eighth vacation of the year.
You finally found somebody to take more vacation than you.
Yo, my man. I'll start with Jeffrey. Jeff, the Wiz have won two, and they have 11 remaining. Washington has lost one, and they have five remaining. Wiz up 2-0. Do you care?
They have 11 remaining?
Till the end of the year was our stipulation. Oh. Remember, they had 14. Yeah. Now they have 11. I think Jeff called Washington winning the table, if I'm not.
He did.
Do you care to change your tune, Jeffrey?
Yeah, man. The Wizards might get a couple more wins out of the rest of the year.
So you're now on the Wiz.
I'm on the Wiz now.
It's hard not to. They got a 2-0 advantage. Washington only has five games left. Brian, do you care to change your side of
this
thing?
No, I'm staying where I was.
The Commanders could win the next two. The Giants are a train wreck. Minnesota, it looks like it's going to be J.J. McCarthy again. He's better than Brosmer, but he hasn't been very good. Wiz play again tonight in Philly.
Yeah, I got to stick with the Wiz.
One, you got to flip to the Wiz.
Well, flip with the Wiz. Yeah.
I got to stick with anything.
I'm just talking about stick with changing my bet, but the way the Wizards have been playing, and it's starting to really look like they're coming around. Like the young guys are getting more confident and taking shots and driving.
McCollum's balling too.
Sar is doing his thing.
I don't even think he played last night.
No, I'm just talking about for the season, the stretch. Yeah. They're starting to come around. So. Yeah, they might win more games than the Commanders.
CJ went for 28 last night. Giannis, it was cool. I saw Toby posted a picture. Basically, it seemed like he went to the game just to watch Giannis, which I understand. That's the kind of player that's worth attendance. Remember back in the day when you were playing, I was a kid, and the Bullets back then were so bad that they just advertised the other team's stars.
Come see the Bullets play the stars of the NBA.
That was like their... promo. Yeah. That was the and marketing.
They also said, we have the tallest and the shortest guy. They had what, Muggsy Bogues and what is it, Manute?
Yeah, Muggsy and Manute. All right, so shout out to the Wiz. I think they're going to get
Muggsy Bogues, Manute Bogues. This is that we had the MBs, MB Square.
Now, what could obviously make an impact, we saw Washington play a lot better against Denver. They still lost, though, but there's a lot of conversation about getting Jaden back. Dan Quinn was asked yesterday about Jaden a couple different ways, and here was the head coach's explanation of where Jaden is now.
It's a little different, John, at the position because of it's not the normal contact like a linebacker or a running back, so it's more of the functional contact. Think of stiff arm on a bag. Think of, you know, diving on the ground. So there's like more functional movements that he'll go through. He did some of that today, and he'll do more of that during the week. So the practice portion for him throwing, like ripped a bunch today and threw it hard, it's the functional movement, John, that he'll continue to work with. So some of that actually will be in an individual and, you know, working to the side. But we'll continue to work that part. And that's the step, you know, that we need to see from the, like, let's say like a functional evaluation, functional contact. And it's not traditional in the sense of like taking a hit.
What do you hear, B?
I don't really know if he's leaning one way or the other. I think that they are concerned about the fact of the inconsistency of the how you get hit at that position and have to brace yourself. You know, quarterbacks get hit, they have to put their arms in front of them. They get hit, they got to like brace behind them. All those different things. But I was happening to be looking at this video, and I remember Corey Detmer dislocating his elbow. And he bounced back from it, you know, and started playing again and never had an issue with it again. So I'm leaning to that. And I know also they're a little leery right now about letting him go back. You know, you probably want him to go back, but you're worried about it because you don't want to see nothing else happen. So I can understand this is going to be a delicate one here.
This is definitely a delicate.
I almost gave you a 6-7. You know.
I feel like he's going to play. Apparently there was a video of Regina leaving the game Sunday saying he's going to play. That is not going to be the final say.
Listen, if anybody knows how he wants to push things, and she does, you know what I mean? I'm sure he wants to and things like that, but you might have to put a brace on it or something like that, I would say, to protect.
Yeah, what can you wear for an elbow like that?
They have these different little braces. Like, some of them can be as much as, you've seen the ones that offensive linemen wear that look like a damn knee brace.
Right.
But then you have the other ones that looks like a sleeve, but you have the little, what's it kind of thing? They have like the little hard plastic stuff in it that laces your arm and kind of give you some extra support. You can wear those. They have them also with sleeve, and they got the little hinge at the elbow part with the two little strips that come down. One goes up, the arm, one goes down, to where you can still move your arm around and bend it how you normally would bend it, but you have that extra layer of protection.
You know what he needs? Remember, Barry Bonds is the greatest baseball player I've ever seen. But do you remember once he got all roided up and was just hitting jacks all
and
the
he was
time?
Wearing that, what's wrong?
Remember that giant joint he wore? Yeah, but see, on his left elbow?
That's the one I'm talking about that looks like a damn knee brace.
Right.
That's a little clunky. I don't know if he needs one that clunky.
What does your gut say about Jaden playing Sunday?
I will probably go 50-50 at this point.
What about then New York the following week?
If he doesn't play this week, I'll go 75-80% he will next week.
Is there a point for you? Because I've said this. If he doesn't get on the field until for me, my point has been, if he doesn't get on the field until the last two games, because you got Christmas and you got Cowboys and then the Eagles, I'm not sure it's worth getting him out there with two games to go. I think with six it was, with five it is, with four it is. If it gets two or fewer, I think you just rest him. Do you have a point, or do you think even if it's just the last game of the year?
I think you go whenever.
So even if he just is ready for Philly on January
4th? If you're looking for him to be like 100%, which I say people never get to, but if you're looking for that to happen and the closest he's going to get to that and he gets there, go with it. Listen, I think you can learn a lot from it. It can teach you a lot when you're dealing with those situations. I will never be the person to just shut people down. I don't believe in that. You know, I watched Joe Burrow come out and play, and he went out there and balled the hell out.
Six games left and a chance at fighting for the division
I understand that, but still, you can set a mindset for coming into the next year. Like, we always talk about learning how to win. You don't want to get comfortable with learning how to lose and not how to play neither. So, if there comes a point where you feel that he's ready to go, go. But we can't be overly concerned about, you know, how many left or this, that, or the other.
I tend to agree with you. I guess I tend to agree with you to a point. I think you get to two games or certainly one game. I don't think there's value there. But I think Jaden needs to play. I think he will play. I think if it's not this week, it's next week in New York. The other, like, the Jaden stuff was by far kind of the most interesting part of DQ's presser. I asked him a question, though, and I'm curious where you land on this, because this team has veteran players playing a lot, and they're playing well. Ertz went over 100 yards Sunday night. Mm-hmm. Bobby Wagner had an interception Sunday night. But in a lost season, you're 3-9. I mean, let's say you get to the Eagles in 2 weeks. Let's even say you win two of those. You're 5-9. At a certain point, though, do you have to see more young guys on the field to figure out what you got for next year?
See, this is where I'm at, and I see so many people.
I'm asking it. I
understand, but I've watched and I listen on so many text threads and chats. Everyone is saying who deserves a chance to play, who should be playing. Don't you all know that the coaches are watching them every day? And if they're not getting a chance, you ever thought that they don't get a chance because they haven't proven that they can play? Or they've proven they can handle the job just yet? I know they're younger, but just being younger don't mean better. Don't being younger means ready. They may not be getting on the field at this point because they don't do the things you need to do consistently to get done. You know, so if there are guys that have really, like, we've listened to them. The guys that they have faith in, they discuss. Like McGee, even when he was hurt, they were discussing him high and on a regular basis.
So it's interesting you bring that up. So I asked Dan Quinn, and I said it just like I just asked you. I was like, you've got veterans that are performing at a high level, but is there a time where you want younger guys on the field? And he said, I think you want to see a balance of both. It's winning now, which, like, those moments matter. Although we're not going to have a winning record, that doesn't mean you're not creating winning habits and standards and fundamentals. But a guy like Treylon Burks, I know he's not a first-year player, but he's new to us. And to see him take his space and go. Mm-hmm. McGee getting extended reps. I do want to see both winning now, seeing those guys perform, but also the development of others. We got our first look at TJ Magaranyaga, the DN.
Yep.
So I found it interesting. I think the big questions for a lot of this are these higher draft picks that really aren't playing that much.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking Sennett, Coleman, Johnny Newton.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, that's where I think people are wondering, why aren't they playing more? But I wonder if the answer is in front of them and they just don't want to accept it. Like, if they're not
Coleman
playing.
Played well last year. Coleman moved inside, and when they moved him out of it, don't you think things seem a little better?
He's not playing.
But my thing is, do you just move somebody out just to move somebody in because they're young? Like, we always talk about, if Jaden don't have so-and-so playing, you don't put him out there. So we're going to just put guys out there just to put them out there to see? That's another way of putting somebody at risk, right?
again, I think these are fair questions. I don't know the answers. Like a guy like Johnny Newton is a second rounder from a few years ago. You've had significant injuries along your defensive line, and Newton is playing through 12 games, 33% of snaps.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
but Johnny has never been the guy, when they drafted him, you look at his build, he's more of a situational guy. So I never expected him to be playing the bulk of them.
I think what you start to see is that a miss? Because Johnny Newton's supposed to be this excellent interior pass rusher.
Mm-hmm.
And he the size doesn't necessarily help you against the run. And I think we've seen the latter for mm-hmm. sure. And I don't think the exceptional pass rushing has come along. And maybe it's because you're behind Kinlaw and Payne,
yeah.
But you drafted this dude, and then a year later, you signed Kinlaw. So, some of the answers to these questions, unfortunately, I think are there. Now, right. The second rounder that was playing a ton and playing really well was Trey Amos, then he gets hurt.
Yeah.
So it's not all misses, and it's not all tit for tat, you know what I mean?
But the thing of it is, when you're building a team and you're formulating a team, you want to get the best people on the field consistently, right?
Sure.
So if the people in front of somebody is better and they're playing well, why do you have to automatically just put the other guy in there?
I think that's a fair counter. I think the question did you miss on some of these higher picks?
But you may not have missed. It's just that the guys that are better are playing that good and they some of them are in such shape, they don't have to take a lot of breaks.
Well, dude, I think the Ertz situation is really interesting, right? Because Ertz has played at a high level. Last year, he was excellent. This year, he's been good. There have been some drops. There have been some false starts. Mm-hmm. Ben Sennett was a second rounder 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Sennett has played 25% of your offensive snaps.
Yeah.
And I think it said a lot. Last year, it was reasonable. They signed Ertz as a veteran. We know what we got from him. We're going to work to develop this dude. Then they brought him back again. Yeah. Like I think some of these answers are telling you how they view it. Yankoff got the target the other day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But that's what I look at. People say what Sennett's supposed to be doing. But you see Yankoff getting opportunities. And you see Yankoff making plays a lot of times when he get an opportunity. Why is it just because he's supposed to get an opportunity? I mean, maybe just like some people, like I say it all the time, most people don't step into the NFL ready to go the first year. Some of them not ready the second year. They probably got to hit their third. But if the person don't get it sometimes, it could not be – the coaches could be giving you everything you need. But the person not utilizing when they're on the field. See, I have watched guys, when that coach has that sheet before you go into the huddle, or they are talking to you before you go into the huddle in practice, they do everything right. But when you're on the field by yourself and you have to think about everything and you have to remember the tidbits and the things that you got to be looking for in that, they are a little slower. And I say, if you're thinking on the field, you're in trouble. So have they not hit it to where they could just react?
The tricky part, if you want to look at year-over-year team building, you take Coleman in the third round last year. He starts for you basically his entire rookie year. Mm-hmm. Missed a little bit of time.
Yeah.
But then this offseason, you trade for Tunsil.
Yeah.
The Tunsil trade looks great. You got to pay him. He's been fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Then you draft a kid in the first round at tackle.
Mm-hmm.
So you're kind of telling yourself, whether they're going to say it or not, they're telling you what they think. Like, the actions speak louder than the words.
But the thing of it is, Coleman was a guy who many thought was going to be a guard in this league, not a tackle.
Right.
They tried him at tackle. Okay? And I think when they went out to get Tunsil, nobody was upset at that. Because we felt that there were things he did at tackle that you can't have that. So we felt he'll be better moving inside because he showed such promise outside. Then he moves inside, and then all of a sudden he wasn't playing.
Then they draft Connerly.
But Connerly is a tackle still.
Right.
But he wasn't playing when he moved inside, and he was healthy.
Inactive.
What happened? Okay. Did he show that he wasn't able to make the transition? Or did something else happen that kind of got him in the doghouse or something? I was wondering, because when I see a guy healthy all of a sudden go from playing and not even dressing out, I'm concerned about that. But then he had a chance to go back at tackle because Tunsil got hurt a little bit, and he was good at that. So what you're building, what I'm seeing is we want everybody to play. Everybody can't play at the same time. But the thing about Coleman, what he does give you seems to be depth at the offensive line position. And if you're going to build a damn good team, you need to have depth at every position.
One player for Washington has taken every offensive snap this season.
Who?
You want to guess?
Biadasz?
Biadasz has taken all but three. Biadasz has taken 99.6% of snaps.
Wiley?
Connerly.
Connerly?
So for all the talk about the rookie, he is...
And he's gotten better. Like,
yeah, I agree.
See, this is... I get lost when I'm looking at... When I'm hearing a lot of comments, how guys are playing this. Nobody hits the ground running and just great the first time.
Jaden did.
He still made some rookie mistakes, too. You know, he showed you great promise, but he did make rookie mistakes. And I think the ultimate thing is nobody is perfect. I'll say that. No one is perfect when they first get out there.
Sure.
And I think we look for perfection. And we all know it doesn't happen.
The problem is at some point, if this it speaks to the disjointed nature of this past offseason, right? Is it a rebuild? Are we going for it? Is it a rebuild? Are we going for it?
They went for it. I mean, they got so close that they decided we're going to take this chance.
But these young guys they've drafted, which is how the plan is to build, at this point through 2-3 years, you got questions about them because they're not getting on the field. And they're not getting on the field because they're not proving they have to be. It's a meritocracy.
Mm-hmm.
You force your way on the field.
That's it.
It's interesting.
And see, this is the thing. I think I heard a comment last night. Let's take a break. We'll come back and get this. I'll take a break.
When we return, we also got to talk about defensive coordinator for next year. It's B. Mitchell Finley.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Your misery down on me.
Who sang that song?
I believe his name Garbage.
Let him.
It's a her. Shirley Let her. Manson.
Let her.
I think I got that right.
You got that right? You heard what I said?
Yeah, I heard you.
Yeah.
So I think the Connerly season, the rookie first rounder, it's pretty encouraging. You got asked to switch positions, had a rough start to the season.
Yeah.
Has really played well. I think the Washington offensive line against Denver was very, very good. Dan Quinn yesterday said he thought Sam Cosmi played his best game yet in his return from injury.
And that's coming back from injury, finally hit his stride.
Yeah, dude.
So I'll hit you with this. Okay.
Okay.
I heard him talking yesterday where they said Drake May was told by Vrabel.
Vrabel.
Go out and be a leader now. As a quarterback, you don't have that time to wait. So you pick people in certain positions that some positions you can wait, you learn. Other positions, it's your job to do. Because if you're a quarterback in the huddle trying to step in there and you have no confidence, nobody's listening to you. Now, there are some other positions out there, too, where you have to learn the game. But you don't have to learn how to lead or follow. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So there are a lot of young guys that come into this league that were the big dogs where they were in their colleges or whatever. Then they get to the NFL and they feel as if, well, because I'm young, I got to just give everybody this high respect. You respect everybody, but you don't bow down to no damn body. And if you don't learn that quickly, you end up in your fourth, fifth year and you still waiting for somebody to tell you to lead. You got to figure that out on your own. And that's something that once you figure that out, you know, luckily for me, I was a quarterback all my life. When I got to the NFL, I didn't sit here and wait for nobody to tell me when I could lead. You could talk to anybody I played with, from Charles to Darryl to Raven Caldwell, Jerry Caldwell. They will tell you, day one, I acted like I was supposed to be there. But you know what I did first? I learned every damn thing I had to do. So when I got out there, I can go full speed. See, some guys, they don't learn their stuff. They waiting for the coaches to implement it. If they give me this playbook right here, and they say we're putting in the first four pages, is there any rule that say I can't look at the next 75, 80 pages? So if you look at a playbook, just like when you learning different like subjects, it guides you into the next stuff. So if you know everything and when you get on the field, you're going full speed, the coach is like, okay, this kid, he got something. But if you wait till the coach implemented that morning, then you go out there and you're feeling yourself through stuff, they're like, okay, something is holding them back. You know what's holding most guys back? They don't know what the hell they have to do. So they got to think about it instead of just doing it. So I would tell every player, when you get here, learn your ish, okay? Learn everything you got to do. And be in the top shape you've ever been. Whatever you were in to get drafted ain't going to be what you need to be in to keep you here. So get in the best shape you possibly can and learn. I hear all the veteran players tell these guys, learn a routine. And once you get that routine and all, perfect it. So whenever you get on the field, it's not like, well, I got to try and find this energy. You know you got it already. Most of them don't believe in themselves. So when he was telling Drake May, because he already knew, dude, you're a leader. Go be that. But everybody don't get somebody to tell them to do it. Either you do it or you don't. And when you don't, sometimes you don't start showing it, people start losing faith in you.
I think that's the question with Connerly, like with some of these situations, I think the Connerly stuff is really encouraging.
Yeah.
But you look at 2024 where they had, what they were loaded. Remember they had five top 100 picks?
Mm-hmm.
McCaffrey, they lost to injury. I thought Luke was playing well.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then obviously Jaden played pretty darn well.
Damn well. Yeah.
But
Mikey played great.
2 seconds and a third. Right. Mikey has played well. This year wasn't as good as last year.
This year took a step back because I think when he moved inside, that's different.
It's one thing for guys to be playing and having ups and downs. My concern is dudes not playing. Sennett and Coleman are at 25% of the snaps on offense. Mm-hmm. Johnny Newton's at 33% of the snaps mm-hmm. on defense.
Okay. See, it's like Jay, if the people in front of them were pooping the bed and they weren't playing, then I'm concerned. But the guys in front of them aren't pooping the bed.
Specific to Coleman, they went and got guys to put in front of them.
Well, they went and got we all felt last year when Coleman was playing tackle that he'll be better inside. Did we not?
Yeah.
And they did exactly what we thought, based of our football acumen, they did what we thought they should do. When he moved inside, didn't hit. He didn't grab hold to it as quickly. But that doesn't mean he's done. Even like Mikey, like people say, well, Mikey stepped back. Mikey leading your team in damn in interceptions right now too, though. So Mikey still has what he had in him last year. It's there. And I watched that dude. That dude right there, he gives a damn about it.
Totally.
I don't think he all of a sudden lost everything he showed us last year. But you hear a lot of people saying that. That's because a lot of people don't understand sometimes. Playing cornerback outside is probably easier than playing that slot. But we always look at the slot as the third best corner. That's what we look at. Sometimes that damn slot might be your better corner because he can go both ways on any side of that damn field. So if you, then you give him a chance, if he's outside, he could get the he gets to use the sideline. That helps him out.
I think specific with the Samardzija stuff, the Lattimore trade is the one. Like, Jaden, we can decisively say was a home run.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, there are a few moves that we can decisively say were fantastic.
Yeah.
Lattimore's the one. I'd say at this point, the only move you could say definitively that was a failure.
Yeah, that one was.
One, you had to give up a bunch to get him. And two, this year when he was supposed to be healthy, not only did he not perform, but it also might have impacted another important player in Samardzija.
But the thing of it is, when Mikey was playing outside last year, every person I know involved with this team was saying, oh, man, you get him to move the slot, and then you can get an outside guy. You got you something there. They did what we all thought he should do. And it just didn't hit as quick. I think Mikey's growth was stunted by the fact that he didn't have a consistent pass rush. I think if he has a more consistent pass rush, he's a much better corner. He's a much better slot guy. But taking a chance with Lattimore, I think it was necessary. But it didn't work.
Right.
But I think now, that doesn't mean Mikey can't grow even more. And another spot, you could pick somebody else for that position. Hell, what if you say, okay, well, we thought Mikey was better outside. You put him back outside. Get somebody else to play slot. I'll take chances with it. But I'm going to tell you what's going to depict how all those guys play. That pass rush has to improve. The consistency of the pass rush has to improve. And I don't
now, that the see, pass rush, I think, was totally undone by injury.
But see, for me, I'm not one that's going to sit here and just act like, oh, it got to be off the edge. I think the most disruptive pass rushers in the league are the ones that come straight at the quarterback. Chris Jones, when Reggie White was around, when Aaron Donald was doing his thing, those guys that come right up the middle that are sitting in your face. And I know people go, oh, well, look at the outside rushers. You know why the outside rushers get so many sacks? Because you watch when the Houston Texans play. They have guys that are collapsing the interior of that pocket. Quarterback can't step into the pocket. Last night you watched when Drake May, and I think Troy focused on it. When he took a slide up and the guy went right past him, he said, well, he worked on that because he was giving up sacks like that last year. This year he's avoided those sacks by just stepping in the pocket. Well, if he had somebody collapse in that pocket, he couldn't step up and he would have got sacked last night three or four more times. So you got to figure out that up the middle as well.
B. Mitch and Finley coming up at noon. Sam Cosmi will join the program.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
I need a job with a steady paycheck. I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, B, we're going to switch gears here for a minute. Going to France.
Francais.
Si, oui.
Oui. Oui, oui.
Everybody knows France had the, I mean, they robbed the damn Louvre, the world's most famous museum. They were able to get in there. I think France might have a police problem because it doesn't seem like they're too on top of stuff. But I'm not an expert on French culture and or government procedures. I will confess that, Brian.
All right.
But now we got another heist. Close to 1,000 pounds of escargot worth over $100,000 have been stolen from a French snail farm in the Champagne region of eastern France.
Oui, oui.
Producer Jean-Mathieu Davin told La Parisienne he was shocked to find that the Michelin star-bound snails had been taken. An incident, he said, occurred between Sunday night and Monday morning.
Michelin star, that's like that restaurant in Issa we were at.
Yeah, yeah, this is as that's as fancy as it gets. I imagine these are among the most fancy, expensive snails in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, I assume this is a cash grab.
It is.
Do you think some dude is out there just eating 100 grand worth of snails?
No, he's not eating 100 grand worth of snails. He probably had gone to some place and say, look, I got Michelin star grade snails. 100K worth. Give me 20. The guy knows it's going to cost $100,000 or more to get it. And you can give me, if I can get it for 20, hell, I'm going to get them.
He ain't going to say nothing.
Yeah. And then when you sell it to your clientele, come in, we have some special snail tonight. Special escargot. Instead of, look, I'm going to throw a price out there. Instead of the $49.95, we're charging $59.95. At another place, it might be $100. I want that.
A police officer in the town of Epernay, Commander Remy Dubois, said he believed the thieves were likely experienced and professional. The missing delicacy was the farm's entire annual supply, leaving them to resort to purchasing from other producers to satisfy orders.
Wait. That's the entire annual supply? $100,000? That business is not going to work.
Maybe that's all they had left for Christmas. Maybe okay. They sell them year-round. All I don't. Right. Again.
But what I'm saying is they were professional. Yeah, of course they were.
This was an inside job, right?
Basically.
There's no way this isn't an inside job.
Man, look, somebody inside knew something.
Jean-Mathieu Davin better look at his employees. Check their pockets, son.
Or you may want to look at Jean-Mathieu.
You think he's trying to get the... Can you get snail insurance
they
money?
They got insurance stuff going on with that.
Do you like escargot?
No, never had it.
I don't know that I've ever had it.
I don't know if I like it or not. I just never tried it.
Don't taste bad.
It's kind of like...
Isn't it hard to get out of the little shell?
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought they already have it out of there for you.
Nah, it's like... feels like mushy. If I could... It tastes like warm oysters to me. Like, it don't really have a taste.
I believe I have tried them. I can't place the taste right now. If somebody wants to bring us in, if it's possible that one of our listeners stole all these snails from France and wants to bring some in, you have my blessing.
Yeah.
What do you think the odds of that are?
Odds of that?
Yeah, pretty
slim. Probably zero to none.
So Landfill has a good question based on this $100,000 snail heist.
Uh-huh.
What food would you want $100,000 worth?
Wagyu steak.
Wagyu, okay. Lobster. I thought you'd go seafood.
Lobster.
No, you only get one.
I only get one, and I got to eat it for how long? All right. What I want $100,000 of, give me some Chilean sea bass.
You love
Bam,
sea bass.
Right there.
You're going to need a freezer. How much do you think $100,000 gets you?
I got enough freezers.
For these robbers, these thieves, what is the transport for 10,000 snails?
I don't know.
Is that like a bucket or do you need like a truck?
You don't need I don't think you need no damn no bucket for 10,000. I mean, you don't need a truck for 10,000 snails.
But if you wanted 100K worth of sea bass, you're going to need a truck.
100K worth of sea bass probably will not be no whole truck. But sea bass expensive.
Yeah. I don't know. Landfill, what's your $100,000 food?
And are you getting it? Hold on, Landfill.
Yeah.
Are you getting it before it's cooked or once you get it to a restaurant? You get into a restaurant, 100K ain't going to be much.
I feel like you could go either way on that, but you just get like $100,000 worth of any one food. For me, it would be ribeye.
Yeah, ribeye's good.
I know what you would pick, JP.
Maryland crabs?
That Louisiana blue crab.
There you go, Jeff. There you go, Landfill.
If I was going to get 100 grand worth of crab meat, I think I'd want 100 grand worth of crab meat, like, picked.
100 grand of picked crab meat, you're not getting a lot. Not as much as you think. Yeah. Crab meat expensive as hell.
I know the simplest way to get $100,000 worth of food. I got the easiest transportation of $100,000 worth of food.
Mm-hmm.
They sell them in the little kitchen right here. 100 grand bar. Just get one of those. You grooving. Jeff, what's your 100K food item?
Man, give me some chicken. I'm going to sell some. It's a lot of chicken. Chicken probably the cheapest thing on the market right now.
Jeff,
I'm going to make Jeff 100K
took,
back.
Jeff, you took the one moment to give the stereotypical answer.
Hey,
you want some watermelon with it?
Man, I didn't say fried chicken.
I just said
chicken.
Yeah, man, I know what you're saying, though.
Because, man, I'm going to fry some, I'm going to grill some, I'm going to jerk some, pause, and I'm going to sell it. Let's make that 10K back.
No, it's 100K, Dre.
Let's make that 100K and more back. My bad.
Landfill, if you rode upon on Central Avenue selling chicken, how much would you buy?
Just like selling chicken out the back of his trunk? I wouldn't sell it in Central Avenue. I would go to the closest city that never seen a black person before, fry up some chicken, and be like, yo, come here. I got it. And we good.
B, he really leaned into the stereotype there. What is Leo in Delaware? Is he talking about snails? What is this?
Yeah, he's talking about it. Escargot.
Let's go with it.
All right, Leo. What's up, Leo?
I like that egg heist.
You just talking.
A couple weeks ago in Maryland.
Uh-huh.
Remember they had that egg heist about 2-3 months ago in Maryland when the eggs were really high in price?
Oh, yeah. I remember
eggs
that.
Got stolen?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they said it was an inside job. I think it started on the Eastern Shore, and then that tractor trailer, but they never solved the crime.
I see one. There was a theft of 720 eggs at Tacoma Park.
Yeah, I saw that one was last weekend, too, yeah.
You think it was the same people as the snails? Like, they're just traveling around the world stealing high-value foods?
You imagine stealing the world's...
Show. Thanks. Still a Skins fan, regardless, okay?
Thanks, right, bro. Man. Yeah, you take the three dudes that stole 700 eggs at Tacoma Park, then flew to France to steal the world's most valuable
that's
snails?
That's not the same.
Yeah,
level.
It's like Ocean's 11, but with food.
Looking at a picture of these fellas, maybe. I also... It took three dudes to steal 700 eggs?
Got to carry them. Can't break them.
That's true.
Yeah.
Got to break some eggs to make an omelet. Nobody go anywhere. Sam Cosby next.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.